A little message, you know, as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. I'm sure that no matter what we have done or how the seriousness of that time has affected us, everybody shares the emotion that we wish we were sitting in the sukkah already. It should be over. Whatever it is, let's get it over with, you know, and let's get on and enjoy Yontif, vacation, whatever. But it is serious, and serious things have two possible, or elicit two possible reactions. One is getting very concerned about them, because serious stuff is going on, especially, you know, if there's a judgment, and there's a court case, and there's a you know, serious. A lot of stuff is going to be determined. So one of the reactions to that is get very nervous, shiver and shake, and anxiety, and I don't know, maybe like, you know, taking it seriously. The other one is running away, denial, forgetting about it, burying it, burying my head under the pillow and just pretending that, you know, nothing's going on. And I don't really think that either one is the healthy or the appropriate approach to something serious like this. And I would like to suggest a healthier alternative to these two alternatives that I think might be not only healthy, but helpful in terms of facing and addressing and dealing with the seriousness in a way, in a perspective, with a perspective that that makes it much more of a meaningful, pleasant, and bearable, more than bearable, almost very much desired experience. And I think that the Chachomim were very sensitive to that when they started the preparations in the month of Elul. Elul, we know, is an acronym. The Aleph Lamed Vov Lamed stands for, it's a remez to a posuk in Shir HaShirim. Ani ledodi vedodi li. I am to my beloved is to me, which describes, in the understanding of Rashi, that Shlomo HaMelech's description of the relationship between Hashem and the Klal Yisrael and the Jewish people. One of beloved. I am to my beloved to me. I love Hashem, he loves me. We're in this loving, bonded, loving relationship. And that's very significant because in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, we can understand this special relationship. In the times of the Midbar, we can understand this special relationship. Miracles were taking place. Nevi'im walked the face of the earth and communicated directly to us from Hashem. The Urim V'Tumim existed, where one would have a question about anything in life and go and ask of the Urim V'Tumim, and the answers, the enlightenment would come forth from this Urim V'Tumim that the Kohen Gadol wore. And it was a different type of a life, and we knew Hashem was with us. He had our backs, he loved us, he cared for us. His Shekhinah was present, was palpable. We could feel it in the Beis HaMikdash. And we responded with a great measure of love and drawing ourselves close to him and korbonos and avodas Hashem on the highest level. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We were sent out into Golus. It was destroyed because of Mipnei Chato'enu Golino Me'artzeinu. We, Klal Yisrael, didn't behave appropriately, and that was the necessary imperative consequence. And now we don't have Nevi'im. We don't see Nisim Gluyim, those blatant miracles as we saw throughout our history, as the early history. And so we're not so sure, we're not so confident in the love of Hashem. We're also not so confident in our love to Him because of the way sometimes we treat Him or mistreat him, act with him, towards him, or acting appropriately and oftentimes inappropriately. So we don't really view ourselves as in this deep romantic relationship with the Creator. So we're not sure how much he loves us. We're not sure how much we love him. And when there's no love, there's no real relationship. And there's something, there's a breach, there's a separation, there's a distance, and you know, we feel lost. Yeah, I know he's there, and I know he's done a lot for us in the past, and I guess he's still doing it. I'm still alive, and you know, but we don't see it, we don't feel it, we don't know it as well, and we certainly don't see it in our own actions. Yeah, we say every day, "V'avdes Hashem Elokecha b'chol levovcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'idecha." We really, with the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, we also love him. I don't know. Ready to give our lives for him? Maybe we don't feel that. B'chol me'idecha, my money? Oh no, my money, I can't. I'll give a little bit, I'll give 10%, but I'm not giving away my money. And b'chol mido shumayde l'chor, the Mishnah says, whatever he does to me, I still love him. We don't feel that in ourselves. So the first lesson that we have to learn in the beginning of Elul, when we start saying L'dovid Hashem Oiri V'Yishi, which also talks about our special relationship with Hashem, but the first lesson of Elul, the Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, is the relationship is alive and well. Shlomo HaMelech prophesied to us about 2,500 years ago at the building of the first Beis HaMikdash. That's when Shir HaShirim was given, that this relationship, this loving relationship, will continue forever. And even when Hashem seems to be remote and distant, he's mashkiach min ha-chalonos, he's meitzitz min ha-charakim. He's watching through the windows, he's peeking through the crevices to make sure that we still are doing okay. And even though we seem to be hardened and calloused and negative and skeptical and cynical sometimes in our dealings, in our attitude towards him, the love is there. It may be buried deep. It has to be accessed. It's not always felt. It's not always perceived. It's not always recognized. But it's there. It's there. It's vibrant. We crave that relationship with him because that is something that we still feel, despite the fact that we're 2,000 or close to 2,000 years in Golus and so far away from that close-knit lifestyle that we had when there was a Beis HaMikdash. And that's, I think, the first thing that we have to know, that love is there. He loves us, and we love him. And if we need anything more to testify to that, look at the most amazing, miraculous phenomenon in all of world history. Rabbi Yaakov Emden swears by his life that the survival of the Klal Yisrael throughout the worst conditions in all of human history and the survival of the Torah with the Klal Yisrael is the greatest of all miracles, greater than Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. How can we still be here today? It doesn't make an ounce of sense. Every nation of power, anyone who came into power, attempted to destroy us. They attacked Eretz Yisrael. They tried to overpower Eretz Yisrael. Wherever they found us throughout the Golus, we've been persecuted and we've been pogromed and we've been crusaded against and Holocaust and Gulag. And here we are. But not only here we are, not only have we survived as a people, but the Torah survives with us. Same Sefer Torah, same Torah Shebaal Peh, same Sforim, yeshivas, people learning. So many centuries later, close to 2,000 years in Golus. And that's both an indication of the love that Hashem has for us and maintains for us, and the love that we still have for him, that despite all of it, uv'chol zoy shimcho loy shochochnu, with everything that has befallen us, with everything that has happened to us, we're still there for him. We're still keeping his mitzvahs. Who would have believed? You know, they say when they asked, they asked Einstein once that if he could meet a figure from ancient history, who would he want to meet? So they thought some scientist that preceded him, you know, a physicist or something. He said, no, I want to meet Moses. And I want to ask him, Moses, did you really believe 3,300 years ago that so many years later your people would still be alive and well and adhering to the commandments that you taught them? That to him was the most shocking, amazing phenomenon in all of history. So the love is there. His love is there for us. Our love is there. And when there's love, there's something else that emanates from that loving relationship. And that is trust. If he loves us, we can rely on him. We could trust him. And that's really the second motif that we find in Elul. We start reciting on the second day, on the first day of Elul, L'dovid Hashem Oiri V'yishimi Me'ira. Im tachane olai machane lo yiro libi. Armies can befall me. My heart is not going to be afraid. Im tokum olai milchomo. They wage war against me. Bezois ani boiteach. I put my trust in Hashem. And that kapitel goes on, and then it ends with the words, the famous words, Kaveh el Hashem chazak v'ameitz libecho, v'kaveh el Hashem. Hope to Hashem. Keep that strength of hope going, no matter what. And that really is a byproduct of this loving relationship, because when there's love, when there's mutual love, then there's the individual who loves me that I can trust, and there's my love for him that allows me to feel that trust because I know how I feel towards him. And that trust has an amazing power. And that's really, I believe, the next level of preparation. In Halacha, it says that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, which is the day before the initial trial, so to speak, where we go before the judge to be judged for, based on the past, for the prognosis for the future year. And the halacha says, Megalchin u'mistaprin, people, they take haircuts, and you bathe, and you prepare for this yontif. I should be preparing my legal briefs. I should be consulting with my lawyers. I should be shivering in my boots. I should be afraid of what's taking place the next day. But what?
We don't say halal because of that reason. Also.
Don't say halal on Rosh Hashanah because of that. So I said, what is going on here? So he says, the Meforshim say, the Poskim say, that we want to show, we want to feel, we want to internalize, we want through our actions to develop a sense of trust in Hashem. And a sense of trust in Hashem can influence the din on Rosh Hashanah. The more that a Jew comes into Rosh Hashanah with the realization of the special relationship that we have with Hashem and this ability to trust Hashem that he's going to help us, that trust generates a merit, generates a schus, which even if without it I would not have been worthy of the din on Rosh Hashanah that I would like to receive, but the trust itself creates a situation where Hashem says, you're counting on me, you're relying on me, you're trusting in me, can't let you down. And that's really what we find in the Psukim. In Kapitel Lamed Gimel, it starts, Rannu Tzadikim, we say it on Shabbos morning in the Psukim de Zimra. So in the middle there it says, Hayoytzer Yachad Libom, Hamevin El Kol Maaseim. The Yoytzer, the Creator, takes together all the hearts and looks and understands each person. And that, Chazal say, the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, that refers to the din that takes place on Rosh Hashanah. And then it continues. Ein ha-melech noisha barov choyil, gibor lo yinotza barov koyach. You got big armies, you have big strength, that's not going to help you in the din with Hashem. Sheker asus l'shuov rov chela lo yamali. You got horses, I guess, infantry, I don't know, what do you call it? Tanks, whatever you have, you know, I don't know what they have today, not going to help you when it comes to a judgment with Hashem. Hine ein Hashem el Yareov. There's two things the Chofetz Chaim points out. The Pesuk says that are going to help you. If you're a Yirei Hashem, if you're a God-fearing man, that will serve you well in the din of Rosh Hashanah. And then the Chofetz Chaim, Radak, I believe, says the same, indicates the same thing, puts a comment, says, Lam Yachalim Lachastoi. Another category. I'm not worthy of being called a God-fearing man. I haven't gotten my act together. I haven't shored up all my actions to stand in front of that judge and say, hey, here I am, ready. You got to give me the benefit. You got to give me the proper judgment. I am completely worthy. No, I may not be. But I'm meyachalim lechasdei. I'm putting my trust in you. I'm waiting for your chesed. I am counting on you. I worked in Elul to develop that bitochin. And I worked on Erev Rosh Hashanah to express that bitochin. And rather than being nervous on Rosh Hashanah, I made it an Erev Yontif and a Yontif with meals, with celebration. Because I am showing, and I'm trying to feel, and I'm beginning to feel, and I'm feeling a trust in you. And that trust, the Pasuk continues, says, "Lahatzil mimoves nafshom ulachayo sambarov." Both of these groups will be saved from all of their difficulties. Mimoves, from death, from famine. Their parnosa will be good. Everything will turn in their favor. Why? Either because they're worthy, or because the trust that they put in Hashem. When there's a loving relationship, it's very, very hard to turn away someone who's relying on me. If a stranger relies on me, it's painful enough. Oh, he's relying on me, he's counting on me, he doesn't have anyone else to turn to. I gotta try to help. But he's a stranger, I don't have a relationship, I don't know. But if there's love, I love him, he loves me. We go way back. We got this deep, bonded, loving relationship. And I'm trusting him. It's very hard. Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to the one who trusts him and says, I can't let you down. And that generates a schus, which is me'alu me'ever, which goes even beyond the schus that we may have in the, based on the merit of our actions that we've done in the previous year. And therefore I suggest that we try to focus on this. And yes, we want to change. Yes, we want to grow. Yes, we want to do tshuva. We must do tshuva. It's a mitzvah to do tshuva. It's insane not to try to do the best we can to improve for the year to come. But we shouldn't let ourselves become overwhelmed and then just run away and then just ignore it. Because we have to know in the context of that loving relationship, we can trust Hashem. And if we can trust Him, there's no need to panic. There's no need to be overly anxious. There's no need to hide. There's no need to run. There's no need to ignore. Because I can face the time. I can face the seriousness. I can face the judgment with a confidence that the judge is predisposed because of my relationship and trust in him to favor me in that judgment. And I want to just conclude with just one more thought. I mean, that's a little bit what Rabbi Dax alluded to. Even if a person starts to feel overwhelmed, there's still a means to connect with Hashem and to pull myself out of that matzav of fear. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that the reason that we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, those are Yomim Tovim, we really should say Hallel, just like all the other Yomim Tovim. So the Mishnah says, because that the Hashem is sitting and judging the world, and it's not appropriate when Hashem judges the world in such a serious moment that we're singing and saying and all these praises and Hallel. It's just counterintuitive to the mood of the day. The Rambam, in the Pirush HaMishnayos, explains this a little bit more by Richus, and he says that the times, the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, are days of Yirov Ofachad, fear and trepidation. Umivrach, such fear and trepidation that I want to get out of here. I want to run. I want to run at least to the sukkah to get it over with already. I want to hide under my pillow. I want to just pretend that it's all a dream, that it's not happening. I want to ignore it. I just want to go to sleep and wake up Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So he says, Umivrach, Umonois Elov. Where do we go when we're overwhelmed with fear? We run into the embrace of Hashem. The fear itself can lead us to put our trust in Hashem. because fear engenders desperation. I'm afraid, I don't know what to do. If I have what to do, I'm not so afraid. If there's something I could do about it, well, there's nothing I could do about it. That's when fear sets in. Another level where you realize you can't do anything about it, sometimes that calms people down, sometimes not, but fear, there's nothing I could do. Well, one day I know that there's nothing I could do, I turn to Hashem. Like the little kid, they give the moshel, a little kid, his father is ready to beat him up for what he did, and the kid has no alternative except to run and embrace his father. You know, that. But you love me, but I love you. But like the fear sometimes brings us to the greatest level of trust. And that's really when all else fails, and we weren't able to muster the bitochin in the days of Elul and in the Erev Rosh Hashanah, and we stand on Rosh Hashanah and we're mole pachad. The place to the run, the response should be, I run into Hashem's embrace. And the truth of the matter is that Rabbeinu Yoina brings at the end of the first parak in Brochis, a posuk in Mishlei, Beyiras Hashem Mivtachois, the strength of bitochin, strong bitochin, comes from fear. Because when I'm afraid, when I'm desperately afraid, when there's absolutely no recourse and nothing I could do, what I do is I embrace Hashem. I turn to Hashem. I say, listen, I got nobody else who can help me over here. My lawyers, they're a dismal failure. They're getting indicted. You know, there's nothing I could do. I have no recourse. I have to turn to you. I have to come on to you. And there, in the last moment, one can be inspired to have this bitochon, and that too can help him in the Yom HaDin. And that's, I think, a positive approach, one that should reduce the nervousness, the anxiety, and even if some anxiety sets in, the realization that from the place of anxiety, I can also connect even better with Hashem, and I could come to rely on Him in desperation because I got no place else to turn, I think that can elevate us to a level of appreciation and of capability to deal with the seriousness of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in a more positive way, in a more uplifting way, in a more motivating way, in a less paralyzing way, and in a way that we can actually face it and be able to attempt to do something about it. And just like to conclude that, you know, sometimes we get overwhelmed with the next mitzvah. And that, of course, the mitzvah of tshuva, which is Be'ikar on Yom Kippur. And I think it's very important to prevent being overwhelmed. And one of the ways to prevent being overwhelmed is to lower the bar, is to give a definition or a goal which maybe seems more reasonable, which seems more, I shouldn't say reasonable, but within our reach. In the Keser Reish, Reb Chaim Ivaloshin, the Talmud Muvak of the Vilna Goyim, writes that tshuva, really, Medina de Gemara, is easy to achieve. It's not so difficult. He says, the essence of it is, sheyigmor bedaitoy shlo yoshuv lekisla oid. He makes up his mind. I'm not going back to this foolishness anymore. I had enough of this stupidity. I'm going to do better. I made up my mind to do good, not to go back to my foolishness. And he even concludes and says, umeriras halev, and all the bitterness and all the sadness and all the pain and everything that the Sforim talk about it as part of tshuva, he says, leyeser se'es. He says, that's lefnim yishuras hadin. Me'ikir hadin, the process, the mitzvah of tshuva is fulfilled by a gemiras das. I make up my mind, I'm not doing this again. Now many people, when I say, hey, I'm lowering the bar, they look at me askance and they say, what are you talking about? I make up my mind, I'm not going to do it again. Okay, I made up my mind, I'm not going to do it again. But you know, I did that last year too, and 2 years ago, and 3 years ago, and 5 years ago. And I know a lot of other people who've been doing it for 50 years. And they go back. You know, certain things are habitual, certain things I just can't control, and so forth. So like, what do you mean, tshuva? Very interesting. There's a Mabit. The Mabit in the base of the Kim writes as follows. He says there's a halacha that if a person did tshuva last year and he didn't repeat the Aveira again, he doesn't have to do tshuva for that Aveira on the next Yom Kippur. But if he repeated it again, he has to do tshuva not only for this year's but for last year's. One would think that that means that if I did tshuva, but I did the Aveira again, that the tshuva was no good. Therefore, I have to do tshuva for it again. And he says that's not so. He says the only reason that the Chachomim were mesakin that you have to do the tshuva and the vidui again was just to underscore that you have a serious problem in this area. Be aware that you did it last year. You taka did tshuva. The tshuva was good, but you repeated it, which means the Yetzer Hara got the best of you. You really did do tshuva. And now you have to do the vidui again just to remind yourself, this is an area where I've been failing a few years in a row. I got to take advantage of the opportunity and to change. But in reality, if a person makes up his mind that I made up my mind, I'm not going back to this foolishness, that in itself is a fulfillment. Me'ikir hadin. Not with all the chumras and all the lefnimishuras adin and the yeser says, but a fulfillment of the mitzvah of tshuva. And that too should give us a sense of chizuk, because that we can do. We can make up our minds to improve. Now, I may not be able to maintain everything that I made up my mind and I decided that I want to do. Okay, that doesn't mean you didn't do it. That doesn't mean it's not real. And I think with that in mind, coupled with the bitochon that we have in Hashem, and the realization that the tshuva is within our reach, I think that our whole attitude and dealing with and facing up to these days can be much more positive, and Hashem should help that we should be able to find the strength to look more positively at this whole experience, and by the time that we find ourselves sitting in the sukkah, we should have taken advantage of what's an extremely unique opportunity to be able to influence the future, to be able to be zeicher that Hashem should grant us for the coming year brocha and hatzlocha and mazel and yehi rotzon sheyamaleh Hashem kol mishalos libeinu l'tovah.